And now to Rock County to meet Farmers on the Rock. This is a watershed conservation nonprofit that's gaining traction with this vision statement: Farmers and Friends of Agriculture Using Technology and Efficient Production Practices to Improve Water and the Environment. Are you a farmer trying to limit soil runoff? What's worked? Do you live near large farms? Are you concerned about impacts to your drinking well? 800-642-1234. Willie Hughes and his family run W. Hughes Farms and Blue Farm Chips, farming more than 5,000 acres near Janesville. He's president of Farmers on the Rock. Willie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into Farmers on the Rock, tell us about, you know, how agriculture has traditionally been done in Wisconsin and the problems that have come with that.
Well, I guess traditionally, we were applying a lot of our nutrients directly ahead of our crops, typically in the spring or even in the fall. And as things have progressed, technology's progressed, our knowledge and understanding has improved. We're now looking at a lot of different ways and a lot of different tools to time those applications more precisely and to, I guess, you know, do a better job with our nutrient management.
So enter Farmers on the Rock. How did it get started?
Yeah, so it was kind of a loosely affiliated group that started around 2019. And it was kind of very informal to start with, just growers kind of getting together, sharing ideas, kind of just looking on, you know, over the fence and sharing knowledge and kind of a, you know, talks of applying for some watershed protection grant funds. DADCAP offers a producer-led watershed protection grant. And so after a few tries and some more organizational structure and a governing body, we were finally awarded a watershed protection grant. And today, the watershed protection grant started in about 2016. And today there's about 36 groups around the state like ours that are kind of spearheading these efforts.
What do you see in the Rock River watershed? Take us to South Central Wisconsin. What are you grappling with water issues, with runoff?
Yeah, so our, you know, our primary focus down here is nitrates. There's also phosphorus. Those are obviously two nutrients that are, you know, really central to growing and having a productive, you know, farm operation. But we've learned more and more about how those nutrients mobilize and how they move through the soil. Nitrogen or nitrates is very water soluble. So those tend to go down through the soil surface into, you know, the groundwater. Phosphorus has more, typically, binds to the soil a little better. And so that's a little more susceptible to running off, whether it's applied on frozen ground or whether there's, you know, steep elevation. So really just sort of understanding the basic mechanics of how those nutrients kind of move throughout the environment helps us sort of regulate, you know, the decisions we make. And we hope that Farmers on the Rock is a resource for growers in our area who want to address this and who want to take steps, you know, to improve it.
Well, one of the steps you're taking is through this $34,000 grant from the state. And this is going to involve planting cover crops. Can you tell us about this?
Sure. So we have, well, let me back up. We have about 30 grower members, and it's free to join. These cost share incentives that we have that we're giving out are on a matched funds grant. So we have to go out and essentially raise, you know, a dollar for every dollar that we receive from DADCAP. And our cover crop cost share program allows growers to kind of de-risk these opportunities if they haven't, you know, incorporated cover crops or if they're just unsure of how it, you know, works in their system. This is an opportunity to, you know, grease the skids a little bit and to get that moving. So what we're doing is we're offering farmers who want to plant a cover crop, whether it's a spring, a summer, or a fall seeded cover crop, you know, a per acre payment for this work. And then as soon as, you know, we can kind of get out and ground truth that it happens, they'll receive those funds. And we really hope that it'll be an opportunity for growers who haven't taken this on before. That's kind of our primary target, is the first year cover croppers, just to get it out onto their ground and see how it fits in their management. cover crops are, of course, a great way to immobilize those nutrients. Mm-hmm. The roots of those crops, you know, such as a cereal rye would be a very basic one. Grab and immobilize those nutrients and, you know, convert them into organic matter that can then, you know, decompose into plant available nutrients in the next year. So as well as, you know, those root systems, they obviously provide structure to the soil. So for wind and water erosion, you have a, you know, a good isolating blanket, I guess I would say, of root mass and biomass that just gives that ground cover. And there's a ton of other things that they can be used for too, weed suppression and compaction reduction and even nitrogen fixation. So, there's a lot to learn there, and not all cover crops are, you know, created equal. So there's ones that, overwinter, there's ones that will frost kill. There's ones that, you know, are better following certain crops and ones that establish better, following others. So there's a lot to learn. I'm still learning. I've been cover cropping for probably over 10 years now, but there's always something to learn and observe with them. So we really hope to kind of just be a information center for growers and a resource and just a networking opportunity for growers in our area.
This cover crop opportunity initiative with help from, as you said, DECAP, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, you had decided on an $18 an acre stipend for planting cover crops. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're obviously, we've got funds. We're happy we have funds. But we hope in the future that, you know, this is kind of just the start. And we want to expand that and offer as much assistance and support as we can. This year we're offering about $18 an acre for growers, and that is probably enough to cover maybe about half the cost of the seed, and we're allowed to consider the farmer's time and the use of their equipment and their fuel as that dollar match. So it's a really good way for us to meet those match funds grants. As long as we get growers who participate, we're allowed to, you know, access those funds. And I think we're just getting started. I would really like to see more acres, released throughout the county. And that's just something as we go throughout the year and try to raise funds and look to see kind of where we're at. We're going to always be sort of pushing that for more expansion.
Janesville farmer Willie Hughes leads Farmers on the Rock, a nonprofit working to preserve and protect Rock County's natural resources. They formed around 2020. What changes need to be made to our food system and how it's produced to ensure that our environments are safe? Are you a farmer involved in a similar initiative in your county? Who's on board? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Willie Hughes on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're in conversation with sixth generation farmer Willie Hughes of Janesville, leads a group of concerned producers who formed a nonprofit called Farmers on the Rock. So they're taking on initiatives to reduce the impacts on farming in the Rock County watershed in the south central part of our state. Willie is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring on a caller. Jeff is with us from Delafield. Jeff, hi. What's on your mind?
Yes, good morning. I see so much increased usage of plastic drain tiles. Doesn't that just direct all the nutrients into the lakes and streams that much faster? That's my question. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you. Willie?
Well, I think it kind of, I would take it on a case-by-case basis. If you're helping drainage tiles, you're helping infiltration. So in an ideal situation, that's going to allow that water to permeate down through the soil and then eventually get out. But you're absolutely right that if there's, you know, there's a threshold to that. And if there's too much out there and if it's able to kind of push through that top surface and get down into the drain tile, then it can be part of the problem. But the idea is also that, you know, that drainage tile allows that water to go down and not run off, which can be a bigger problem, especially when you look at things like phosphorus. Nitrates typically go down, phosphorus runs off. So It's a complicated answer. It's probably not the best answer, but that's definitely a concern, and that's why timing and application, and precise management would be really critical and an important piece to any ground that's tiled.
I've been thinking about your cover crop program here, and you know, with water quality, we've learned about how important wetland restoration is to water quality. Could you do a similar thing with, like, converting some cropland to wetlands and then give the farmer or the landowner, like, cropland rates for X number of years for turning some of their acreage into wetland restoration?
I think that's a great idea. I'm not sure if there's anything in particular. I do know that NRCS and the Land Conservation Department have a lot of incentives with the similar idea. We took some ground that was really close to some groundwater, and we've taken it out of row crop production for just that reason and put it into perennial legumes. We've got one spot where we're enrolled with a phosphorus trading credit program where we've got a perennial wheatgrass by the name of Kernza that we're raising there. So there's a lot of strategies, and farmers can definitely be very strategic about where they place those, and with the right condition, you can do something similar to that that works very well for the grower. And in a wet spring, like it fortunately looks like we're finally going to have here, that those programs and stuff can be pretty enticing when farmers go into somewhere where it's just too wet and they shouldn't really be planting there in the first place. There are opportunities in terms of actual wetland restoration. I'm sure there's programs. I would probably be the wrong person to ask on the specifics, but
sure. It just came to mind. Like, I think that there perhaps could be an opening there for a similar type of structure that you're doing there with the cover crop program. I want to bring on another caller here. Kevin is with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. I live on the south side of Janesville, and my question. Right next to another farm field is, how much does local topography inform the decision of which cover crops in what rotations and what would be good, say, on a big downhill slope? We get a farm runoff into our area terribly every spring because of heavy rains and such. That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. This is right up your alley, Willie.
Yeah. All right. I feel like, this is great. The cover crop doctor or something, but I would say something.
It's a new public radio program. No, Carrie.
There you go. Yeah. Right. I would say, you obviously want something that's going to hold on to that, that soil structure. The short answer is just about anything that'll hang on to that ground, works. But in that scenario, I would really try to get something that you could apply in the fall, hopefully as early as possible, whether it's from an extended rotation that allows some open ground in the late summer to get it, caught, or something, that holds really well. Cereal rye would be probably the first thing that would come to my mind. And that is something that will actually overwinter. It'll grow in September, October, get maybe 5 inches of biomass above ground. And then when it gets cold, it'll shut down and go dormant. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be something that'll stay green all winter long and offer more growth in the spring when it kind of wakes up. Something maybe like oats tends to frost kill. So you get that good growth in the fall, but then as your first frost in October, maybe October 15th, that those oats are going to die. Which isn't a bad thing if that's what you're trying to do. It makes it easier to manage in the spring, but on a real, slight steep elevation like that, I would be looking at probably putting a waterway in where it's, washing. That would be a no-brainer. And then on the actual, productive acreage, something like an overwintering cereal.
Kevin, thanks so much for that question. Talking with Farmer Willie Hughes, president of Farmers on the Rock. That's a nonprofit group looking to make agriculture more sustainable in Rock County and the watershed. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. We heard from John in Oconomowoc, couldn't stay on the line, and said that you and fellow producers who are looking to protect the environment and resources, John says they're real heroes. The producers doing this work don't get rewarded in the marketplace, doing their work out of the goodness of their heart. And that leads to this question. Do you feel like this is a movement among fellow farmers, or is it harder to get farmers on board with what you're doing?
Well, you know, I don't want to mythologize what we're doing. It's not, I think that there is a lot of interest, and I think that every farmer considers themselves a good steward of their farm and wants to be a good steward. But the truth is that our understanding of what good stewardship is really, you know, it's changing quickly, and we're seeing things and effects and stuff, you know, that that is kind of changing the scope of what good stewardship means. It doesn't just end at our fence line anymore like maybe it used to. So I think that it's not about whether, in my experience personally, it's not about whether or not growers are against it or for it. It's just the logistical challenges of that farmers face. We have so much stuff to do, and so much uncertainty and so many things going on.
Only so many hours in a day.
Yeah. To ask them to plant a whole nother crop that they have no intention of harvesting can be a, you know, that can be a real burden. And so that's why we think that these cover crop cost share incentives can help de-risk that a little bit, get them their foot in the door. And then once they start to implement the practices, they can start to understand the strategy of them and see, well, you know, this payment is nice, but actually the real benefits that my farm is seeing is from some of the management, you know, and the you know, the additional advantages of incorporating these. So that's kind of our hope.
Willie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Willie Hughes is a sixth generation farmer in Janesville. Family runs W. Hughes Farms and Blue Farm Chips, farming more than 5,000 acres. President, as we talked about, Farmers on the Rock. We have a link to Farmers on the Rock at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, home prices are almost 20% higher than last year. Are we in a housing bubble? We get insights from a real estate expert and two agents about what we need to know before buying in this market. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.